Thank you. Something you will never hear on a deathbed is, "I think I prayed too much. I think I spent too much time with my family. I think I read my Bible too much." These are things that will never be said on a deathbed. As I was getting ready to go to South Africa back in 2008, I had a mentor that told me that if I left South Africa closer to God than when I started my journey there, then the entire mission would have been a success. If I came back closer to God than when I left, the entire mission would have been a success. Everyone that I would have studied with, everyone that I would have baptized, every great growing experience there would just be icing on the cake. If I came back closer to God, then the entire mission was a success. In many ways, this is true for life. Today's lesson is going to be talking about drawing close to God, and we'll see how this is the very meaning of life. The joy of a Christian is being one with God. And this joy comes from following closely to our Master and God, Jesus. There was an old Jewish expression, and this expression was, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." And someone would say that to a person who was chosen to be a disciple of a rabbi. And this expression, the meaning of it, "may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi," is may you follow your rabbi so closely, may you walk right behind him as he travels and walks, that the dust of his steps kicks up the dirt and covers you because you are in such close proximity to your teacher, to your master. Becoming closer to Jesus Christ is the only fulfillment of life, because Christ is life, and any other path leads to disappointment and eventually death. I have a bad habit at approaching God like I do my taxes sometimes, where I think of, I have to get everything in line, I have to prepare everything, make sure all my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted, and present it and submit it completed to God, and then walk away and hope, making sure that everything is good and in order. God is not a system. He is a person, and he wants to be close to you. He loves you and wants to draw close to you. Listen to this awesome promise in the beginning of verse 8 in chapter 4 of James. We're told to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's a guarantee. That's not a 90% chance that God will respond to you if you draw close to him. If you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. That is a beautiful promise. I heard a very challenging thought just the other day. If God seems far away, guess who moved? If God seems far away, guess who moved? Several years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago now, I was in charge of the games and activities at the Midnight Sun Bible Camp for one of the weeks at camp. So I had the evenings off, essentially, by working out there at this Bible camp. And it was about midnight. It was very dark outside, very quiet. I decided, I feel pretty far away from God. I need to go pray. I need to spend some time with my Lord. And so I got out on a canoe about midnight, and I got out on the lake in the middle there, and it was foggy, and the lake was just completely flat and calm. It was so peaceful, and I started to pray to God. And I was telling God about my struggles and things that were on my mind and on my heart, and I was pouring myself out, and I was just talking to the lake, it seemed. I was all alone out there on this big pool of water talking. And then I realized I'm talking to God as if he was just my friend, as if I was talking to a close friend on the phone, is how this conversation was going. And I remembered who I was talking to. That I wasn't talking to just my friend, I was talking to my friend and also my king and the creator of everything. You see, I can't draw close to a God that doesn't exist, because there isn't a God that isn't that is just your friend. There is no God that's a tax system. There's a God who is a person and who is king and who is creator. When I started to talk to God as who he really is, then I was able to draw close to him. Then I was able to pray. My mom, she's not here right now, so I can use her in an analogy. They're traveling right now, so I only have a few weeks before I can get this in, so I'm trying to take advantage of it. My mom is an artist, and growing up, I would take some art classes, and she would help me with them, and we would do some art together. And she gave me some very sage advice in some of the paintings we were doing, where I was painting, I think we were doing a landscape at the time, and she was looking at what I was doing, and she said, "Mike, don't paint what you think, paint what you see." Have you ever tried to draw or paint something just from memory? You notice it's a lot easier when you actually can see what you're trying to paint. It's like, that's why painters go to the actual places and see the landscape firsthand to paint, instead of just like, "Oh, I remember this place I went to 10 years ago. Let me paint that." Or why you sketch something you're looking at a picture of, because if you're not actually looking at the place or the object and you're just trying to remember, what you start painting is askew from reality. And that's what I was doing out in the middle of this lake on this canoe, is I was praying to what I thought was God, not to what I see is God in Scripture. God does not portray himself as just our buddy friend. He portrays himself as a loving, all-powerful Father who pays a price for us to be with him. So we can see and know God by believing what he has said and revealed about his Son. And he shows us, when we believe in who Jesus is, something amazing happens. Jesus tells us in John 7, verse 38, he says, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Often the greatest distance is between the mind and the heart. I knew that God was my Father and all-powerful. I had that knowledge in my brain. But as I was praying to him, I wasn't believing that Jesus was my God and my King. I was believing he was simply my friend. A lot of us know a lot of things. A lot of us have spent a lot of time in this word. But often the greatest distance is between our minds and our hearts. We need to believe in who Jesus says he is, not just what we think he is. We need to see him as he is painted in Scripture. When we believe in Jesus, he tells us that we are these rivers of living water. We become aqueducts of eternal life to the world around us. Has a Christian ever just stopped you in your tracks by something they said or did? A fellow brother and sisters, or maybe you were lost at the time and a Christian stepped into your life and changed your world. Has a Christian ever stopped you in your tracks? I remember I was having a really hard time years ago with a connection to somebody that was dear to me. And I was really wrestling with it. I was even getting depressed over it. And a Christian, really kind of out of the blue, said, "You know, God knows. God knows what you're feeling, and God knows what the situation." And in just saying those two words, "God knows," completely changed that entire situation. And my spirit was just so much more at ease and healed from just these words, "God knows." See, when we draw close to God, everything good happens. Listen to Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We believe and serve an infinite God, and he wants to infinitely bless us. When we sit at his table, blessings flow through us into the lives of others. Let me show you this picture that I just think is an awesome illustration. I love this picture because I want this to be me. You can only see the shape of a cup here because it's obscured by everything being poured into it. As a Christian, I hope and pray that the world around me, that you can only see the shape of Mike, and that that shape is obscured by all the love and power of God that pours into us. I pray that people see the eternal life that Jesus has given me, has given you as a Christian, flowing through you into others. I'm excited to tell you that God is closer to you than you think. Listen to Acts 17:7. We're told that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each of us. God is not playing some sort of hide and seek or peekaboo with you. He is not running away from you. In fact, he would be the worst hide and seek player of all time. Because as much as we close our eyes and try to count as long as we can and pretend like he's not there, we get to whatever number we want to, we open our eyes, he's not hiding. He's been standing there the whole time. One of Satan's most prevalent lies is that our sin scares God, or that it repels him, or it sends him running away like a mouse to a little girl. He just can't handle it. He just shrieks, whoa, I didn't know that was there. Get me away. God is not scared of sin. He reached down into the world and grabbed sin with his own hands. All of its filth, all of its evil. The entire world's sin, yours and mine, past, present, and future. He grabbed it all and he put it on his son and he killed his own son. He's not scared of sin. He hates it, and he paid the price for it. It has been paid. So our sin doesn't send God running. He is still waiting for us to find him. He is close to us and more close than we think. The price has been paid in full, and to prove that his love and grace is greater than all of our sin combined, he raised his son from the dead to show that the abundant life could not be contained by all the sin and death of the entire world. God is real, and he is listening. And he wants you and I to draw close to him. When we draw close to him, everything changes. Let me show you something else amazing. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. We're told, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, talking about God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know, and when we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. I have yet to see anything give more momentum to somebody's faith than when they ask for the things that God wants. And the reason why that gives such momentum to a person's faith is because God will always say yes when we ask for the things that God wants. God wants us to be close to him. So if we pray, God, help, I want to be close to you, the answer is yes. God wants us to love our spouses in a certain way. And as we pray for that to happen, God says yes. God wants us to be a light to the world around us. So when we pray to God, God, help me be a light to the people around us, he says, yes. It's a guaranteed fact that he answers these prayers and it will light your faith on fire when we pray for the things that he wants and not just the things that we want. God gave us his own spirit, and that spirit has the exact same will that God has. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 is a very popular passage, which is where we see the fruit of the Spirit. And it's important to remember that this Spirit is not us, is not our spirit. It's God's Spirit, and the fruit of that Spirit likewise come from God, not from us. So let's look at the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When we ask God for this, it happens. When we ask God for love, we can love. When we ask God for peace, he doesn't fix the circumstances, he gives us peace. And one of my biggest pet peeves, one of the things that just grinds my gears, is when I hear people say, don't pray for patience, because God will then put you in a situation in which you can be patient in. I've heard that so many times, and perhaps he does that. But that is a cowardly mindset to think, well, don't pray for it, because then God might actually give it to you. This comes from the Spirit. This is what God wants. And so we need to be praying for the things that God wants. He wants us to be patient. Maybe what we need is some patience with dealing with our friends and their views on politics. Maybe we need some patience in dealing with each other. I know some of the biggest changes that happened in my life is when somebody was patient with me. Because I know I can cause quite the amount of need for patience sometimes, if you catch my drift. We need patience. It's a good thing. And we're like, well, that could be uncomfortable. Well, life is uncomfortable sometimes, and we need to have this fruit of the Spirit to be able to be what God wants us to be. So it's a beautiful and an exciting thing to pray for the things that God wants, because they do happen. It's not a mystery of if, it's a guarantee that it will happen. We need to seek his will and draw closer to God. We need to follow Jesus. The first disciples had a hard time with this, and Jesus had to practice patience in dealing with them. In John 21, verses 21 through 23, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he had just told Peter, the apostle, how Peter was going to die. And he wraps up that prophecy towards Peter by saying, you follow me. You're going to die, and you're going to have a hard time in the end of your life, but remember, follow me. Well, then this passage I'm about to show you is Peter getting distracted from what Jesus says. And Peter says, when he saw him, talking about the Apostle John now, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? He's pointing at John. Jesus said, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? So Jesus was being sarcastic in a way to Peter, giving him the point that no matter what's going on, you follow me. As chaotic as the world gets around you, as much pain and suffering as you experience as an individual, you follow me. And John is clarifying what Jesus said here, and bringing that back to his words. So it's easy to get distracted, and it gives me comfort knowing that if Jesus' own 12 disciples got distracted, that just gives me comfort knowing that I get distracted sometimes, but the message to them applies to you and me as well. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus, to follow him regardless of our circumstances. Jesus tells us in Luke 9:23 this very thing. He says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Following Jesus, heads up here, following Jesus is a one-way trip. And a cross is a form of execution. It's not something you pick up and put down. It's not something you set on the side while you run to the grocery store, come back, get your cross, keep going. It's a one-way trip. You leave behind everything. Your life is over when you pick up a cross, just like Jesus' was. When he picked it up, it was time. There was no lollygagging, no detours, no breaks. It was a one-way trip. And Jesus is saying the same thing for us. Being a Christian is a one-way trip where we give up everything and follow the one that has taken up a cross for our behalf. We leave behind everything. We let go of everything to follow Jesus. I heard another challenging thought years ago. One of my teachers at school, at the Bible school in Texas, he said, people leave God before they leave the church. Think about that. People leave God before they leave the church. Once we take our eyes off of him, off of Jesus, everything withers and falls away. The focus of a Christian, the life of a Christian, true life, is only found in following Jesus. And once that has been askew, once that has been removed, everything falls apart. It might not be immediate, but it is guaranteed, because he is the only source of life. The first disciples were sad and discouraged when they realized that they weren't going to physically see Jesus anymore. And Jesus, listen to what he says in his encouragement to them about this. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he tells his disciples this. He tells them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Given to Christ, not to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have a master, a God, who is our friend, but also king over heaven and earth. We have his teachings here for us to learn accurately and completely. And we have a king who is with us right now. There was a Sufi poet about 800 years ago named Rumi who was contemplating Jesus and these words that he said in this passage. And he was a poet, and he wrote some very beautiful poetry. I want to read to you a poem he wrote regarding Jesus saying, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is his words. I think he was quite close to the truth on this. He says, behold, I am with you always means when you look for God, God is in the look of your eyes, in the thought of looking, nearer to you than yourself or things that have happened to you. There is no need to go outside. God is right here. Christ is right here with us always. He's not playing hide and seek. He wants us to draw close to him, and he is closer than we realize. Listen to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. We're told his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When we believe the knowledge of him, the knowledge of what we see in Scripture of Christ, this connection between what we read and what in our hearts takes place, and we see that Christ is the meaning of life, and his eternal life wells up within us and overflows into every part of our life and into the world around us. In conclusion, I would like you to stand as we read this next passage. So please stand up. And for this passage, I would like you to finish the last word of each line in Luke 11:10. So please finish the last word of each line here. Everyone who asks,
receives.
Whoever seeks,
finds.
To everyone who
knocks,
and the door is
opened.
These are the words of Jesus to us. God wants to draw close to you. He is not scared of your sin. He's paid the price for us. He is with us, and he is listening to your prayers, and he always says yes when we ask for what he wants. May his love overflow through us and through this church. May you follow Jesus only and always, and may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Let's stand and sing the song that's been selected.